During the first hour, we got to have a combined service with the English and Chinese congregation together. And on the English side, we have been studying the book of Acts. And if I haven't met you before, my name is Dan. And I have the privilege of serving as the youth pastor here at our church. And so one difference for this service is we don't have any of our youth like we did during the first hour. And today's message is really about understanding God's will and God's leading. And it is especially applicable for high school seniors who are working on their college applications right now. And for some of you, this is very applicable to you as well because your son or daughter is working on their applications. And there's a certain level of stress that goes into the process because it's a really big decision. And so the passage that we're going to study today in Acts 21 and 22, the Apostle Paul comes to a very confusing decision that he has to make. And so we have life choices that are confusing for us at times. And I believe that as Christians, we do ask ourselves, what is God's will? What is God's leading for my life? And I believe that we want to use God's wisdom when we make those decisions. But sometimes we're confused. And that's where God's word can really help us this morning. And so here is one kind of negative example of how I used to think about God's will. When I was younger, I used to think that every situation had a right and a wrong. Everything was black or white. And so here's kind of a funny example of how this thinking affected me. When I was a freshman in college, I was sitting in the student union area with two other brothers from my Christian fellowship. And we were talking about our favorite topic of conversation. Dating. That's what you talk about when you're 19 years old. And sometimes we would go outside to the patio area because there was a balcony that would look down into like the main quad of our campus. Because we were looking for what we called the one. Meaning that maybe if we looked down across campus, we would make eye contact with a girl that we would one day marry and spend the rest of our lives with, happily ever after. And the reason we had to do that was if we weren't standing out there and we didn't make eye contact with them, then suddenly our whole chances of getting married had just gone out the window. And what was wrong with that thinking was we thought, if I miss this opportunity, I've missed the only chance God has given me. And And so we would stand out there on the balcony area. Otherwise, we were scared we would be single for the rest of our lives. And the problem with this thinking was we thought that there was a very black and white way of thinking about it. And so while that's a funny example, we do have situations in our lives where we have to make a decision and we don't know what to do. So for you parents who have seniors in high school, you know that your son or daughter is stressing out over the decision they have to make of where to go to college. And we have confusion as well when we have to think about which job do I take? Or important decisions that we have to make for our families. And we ask the question, where is God's leading? What is God's will? And sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we're very confused. And so this morning we get a very good picture, an example of how to live in moments like these from the Apostle Paul. Because these five verses that we just read, it describes a situation where there was confusion. Paul had come to a place where he needed to decide what he was doing next. And so hopefully what we're going to see as we study these a few chapters in the book of Acts is that sometimes the decisions itself that we have themselves that we have to make, they're not the most important thing. When we face a confusing situation in our lives and we don't know whether to go one way or the other way, what we'll learn from the Apostle Paul is what matters is how we live once we make that decision. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Acts 21. And let me help us with the context of this situation. So at this point in Acts, Paul had gone on several different missionary journeys. And both in the previous chapter, chapter 20, and in the book of 1 Corinthians, which is happening at the same time period, we see that Paul wants to go to Jerusalem. And part of the reason of why he wanted to go is that there was a famine in Jerusalem and there was brothers and sisters in the church there who were in need. And so Paul had heard about the situation, and as he was going on his missionary journeys, he was collecting money to bring back to bless the brothers and sisters there. And also, Paul was Jewish, so though he had been traveling around, he wanted to get back home to Jerusalem. And he was hoping to make it back in time for the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And this festival helped commemorate, it was the anniversary of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit entered into the church. And so even though Paul had built a lot of very good relationships on his journeys, he was trying to head home. And so we get a good understanding of the situation he faces, starting in verse 3. So chapter 21, 3 and 4 says this. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria, and we landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. And through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. So to the brothers and sisters here at Tyre, Paul's goal and objective to go to Jerusalem was very clear. But for the disciples that he's staying with, they don't want him to go. And there's a very interesting way that they say this in verse 4. It says, through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And when we know about what Paul's life has been before this point, it's not hard to understand why they don't want him to go. His life has been in danger as he's been sharing the gospel. Even in the previous chapter, he says, I know that hardships or maybe even jail awaits me when I go to Jerusalem. So it actually makes sense that the other brothers and sisters don't want him to go to Jerusalem. But the interesting part is verse 4, it says they say this to him through the Spirit. What does it mean that they said this to him through the Spirit? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit told each one of them individually that he should not go to Jerusalem? And I do think many times God speaks through God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through other brothers and sisters. The Spirit does speak through us. But the wording of the passage says they said this through the Spirit. And I'm comfortable with the idea that the Spirit speaks through us. But I have a hard time understanding what it means when it says they spoke through the Spirit. And the best that I could make sense of this statement is that we can say that the disciples at Tyre, they had a really strong conviction that Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. Now, they must have known Paul pretty well to say this to him. And then, but we've also seen in previous chapters that Paul has been firmly convinced that he's supposed to go. And we get even more of a picture as we read on in this chapter. And in verses 10 and 11, it says this. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." So this is warning number 2 for Paul. It's a pretty clear image that he's told. The prophet takes off his belt and ties up his own hands, and he says, this is going to happen to you if you go to Jerusalem. And similarly to the verse we read earlier in verse 4, Verse 11 says that the prophet says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. So this is the second time that Paul is told, the Holy Spirit is telling you not to go to Jerusalem. In verse 12, we see Paul's response. 12 and 13 says this, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So even though Paul has received warning number two, and he's even himself predicted that he might face trials or go to jail even, he's convinced that he is supposed to go to Jerusalem, no matter what the outcome is. And this is where they end up. Verse 14 says this, when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Now, the first person word, we, is being used in this verse. And what that tells us is that even the author of this book, which is Luke, he's saying, I was part of this group that was trying to convince him not to go to Jerusalem. And not just Luke, but the other brothers and sisters that are here at Tyre. But in the end, they say, the Lord's will be done. We get the sense that they understand that even though they're warning him, they see how committed Paul is to go to Jerusalem. It makes me think of the idea that's important for us a lot of times, the idea of agreeing to disagree. The disciples at Tyre had a very strong conviction of what they thought the Spirit was saying. And Paul had the opposite idea. He very firmly believed he needed to go to Jerusalem. And I think this can actually tell us a lot about what we might experience even within the body of Christ. We might be absolutely convinced that God is telling us to do something. And brothers and sisters might be absolutely convinced that we're not. That was the situation that Paul was in. And so as the story goes on and we see him go and travel to Jerusalem, what we're going to see is that in the end, the decision itself, it's not the most important thing. What matters is how faithful he is to God as he makes this decision. And Paul's conviction that he's going to go to Jerusalem, it tells us a lot about how we think as humans. If we go back to the idea of dating, one question that I'll hear from some of the young adults, particularly the guys, they'll come to me and they'll ask me, I'm attracted to this person. Should I ask them out? Should I try to date them? And I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, they really aren't actually asking my opinion. Because if that idea is already in their mind, they're going to do it anyway. So what they're really asking me is, do you agree with my decision to ask this person out? Because when we have it in our mind that we want to do something, usually that's what we do. And there's something very important that we can learn from that kind of thinking. God has given us tremendous freedom when it comes to the direction that our lives are going to go. And so Paul was convinced and couldn't be told otherwise. And there's a lot that we can learn about how he lives his life after he goes to Jerusalem. So before we get to that, though, I want to be very careful as we think about this idea. What this passage is not talking about is it's not talking about an issue of sin. It's a life choice that Paul has to make. Now, if he knew for sure that God was telling him not to go to Jerusalem, and he still went, then maybe we have a different situation. But one, the group of brothers and sisters was telling him not to go, and he believed God was calling him to go. It wasn't clear. There was confusion. And so he decides to go to Jerusalem. And I heard a very good message about this idea of understanding God's will when I was in seminary. And the pastor who was speaking, he used a very famous verse, Psalm 37:4. And Psalm 37:4 says this. It says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And the pastor said he translates this verse as, "Love God and do what you want." And this was very important for the college students that I was working with to hear, because they were asking the question, what is God's will for my life? What major should I choose? What grad school should I go to? What kind of job should I work? And he said, these are not black and white decisions. Love God and do what you want. And Paul is doing what he wants to do. He's following his heart, and his heart is leading him to go to Jerusalem. But it's very important that we see that this isn't applicable to something that regards to sin or righteousness. For example, when the Bible says, do not worship other gods, flee from sexual immorality, honor your father and mother, these are black and white issues when it comes to Scripture. But when it comes to where God is leading us, we have tremendous freedom to go where he might be leading. And so in this case, Paul's heart had led him to go to Jerusalem. And so as long as our lives are honoring God, we can trust that the decisions that are in our heart, we can trust that God, we have the freedom to do that. But what we'll see in the way that Paul lives is what matters most is how we live after we've made that decision. And And we're going to see this in chapter 22. Now, there's a lot of verses, and so I'm going to explain kind of the way the events happen. Paul goes into Jerusalem, and he spends some time with the brothers and sisters there. But then when he goes to the temple, trouble starts. People start accusing him of going against the temple and the authorities. And so a group of people drag him out of the temple with the intent to kill him. And so a Roman commander who's close by is told about what's happening. And the only way to restore order is to have Paul arrested. And so while Paul is being held under the control of the Roman guards, he asks for permission to speak to the people that are there. This is really something, you could see that this is really something that God wanted him to do. Because in normal circumstances, a prisoner wouldn't be allowed to speak in front of a group. But for some reason, the Roman commander allows Paul to speak. And Paul begins to share his testimony. He shares about how he used to persecute Christians. He shares about how God struck him blind on the road to Damascus. And starting in verse 14 of chapter 22, he shares words that God spoke directly to him. Chapter 22, verses 14 to 16, it says, "Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.'" So by sharing how he came to know God and how he was changed on the Damascus road, and by sharing his new life's purpose, Paul gets to be a witness here to those in Jerusalem of what's happened in his life. This is the outcome of the decision that Paul made to go to Jerusalem. He gets to share the gospel with people who are there. Now, if we go back to the disagreement that Paul had with the brothers and sisters at Tyre, they had different opinions of what they thought the Spirit was saying about whether or not he should go to Jerusalem. And when we see the outcome, you could say that honestly, both groups were right. The ones who warned him not to go to Jerusalem, they were saying, "Don't go because it's dangerous." And it was. He ends up going to jail. It was something that was predicted. But Paul was also absolutely convinced that God was leading him to go to Jerusalem. That his mission was to continue to share the gospel, specifically in Jerusalem. And here, as he's in control under Roman captivity, he gets the opportunity to do that. In that sense, both sides were right. But it must have been very confusing for Paul to know how to make this decision. And what we can learn from the way that Paul lives, even as he's in Roman captivity, is that when we make a decision, we don't know how the results are going to turn out. But what matters is how faithful we are to God and the message of his love wherever we go. And so even in prison, even having his life threatened, Paul is remaining faithful to God's calling for his life. And one of the things that helped me think about this passage is to think about what if Paul had listened to the disciples and he didn't go? And he would not have had the opportunity to speak to the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. But when we read about Paul's life throughout the New Testament, he's incredibly faithful to sharing the message of the gospel. He's living his life for God. And this is just my own speculation, but I believe Paul was going to do that no matter where he went. And so what this helps us understand is that no matter what decision we make, what matters is how faithful we are in that decision that we've made. And so what I hope that our high school students who are working towards college, I hope what they can understand right now is that, yes, where they're going to school to study, that's a big decision. But what's going to matter most is how they live for God, no matter where they go. And so for us, when we face difficult decisions for our families, or for our careers, things where we're not sure what we're supposed to do, what matters most is that we trust that God will continue to be faithful to us and us to him. What we've seen in the book of Acts as we've been studying it on the English side is that ultimately it's the story of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works through different characters such as Peter and Paul and other disciples. And the theme verse comes all the way back in chapter 1. And so after Jesus has resurrected, but before he goes back up into heaven, he says this to the disciples. In chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And what that teaches us as Christians is if we believe in him, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have the opportunity not only to follow the Spirit in the future, but it's something that we've already been doing in our lives. And if the Spirit is present in our lives, then when we come to these difficult decisions, we can trust ourselves a little bit more than maybe we do. And know that in the end, God's not going to be displeased with us if we make one decision over another when it comes to a life choice. Again, not when it's an issue of sin. but when it comes to God's leading for our lives. What matters is how much we live for Him when we make those decisions. And so one thing that maybe this can help us think about is, do we even ask this question at all as we live our lives? Do I understand the tremendous freedom that God gives me to live my life one way or another? But even more importantly, how faithful am I when I make these big life decisions? And so I pray that as we consider Paul's life, that we will follow his example in seeing what matters is how faithful we are when we make the decisions that we do. The book of Acts isn't meant to be something where we look at Paul's life and we say, wow, he's an incredible example of faith. But I'm not Paul. I can't live that way. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, the story of Acts is also our story. And God wants us to experience his incredible power in whatever decisions that we make. And so I pray that as we think about this story about Paul and the way he was faithful to God in the decisions he made, I pray that will give us peace in the moments where there is confusion. When we have to make a difficult decision and we don't know which way to go. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us that even in the confusing moments of our lives, when we don't know what decision to make, God, thank you for showing us that what matters most is how faithful we are to you. And I pray that these words that we see in Acts would give us peace. That we would know that you've given us incredible freedom to make different life choices. And I pray that we would honor you with them wherever we go. God, we know that this kind of wisdom only comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you've given us your Spirit only because of your amazing grace for us. So God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, and for the ways that the Spirit will lead us in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and so we get to celebrate the remembrance of what Jesus has done by partaking of communion together. And this idea of having the Spirit in our lives to help guide us and help us live and be faithful, it comes because of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross. And we want to remember that this morning.